Who was it? I'm going to give you a trivia question. I'll bet somebody knows the answer to this. Who said, keep the switch of faith turned on? Kennedy Hagin. Take an A. Why isn't it on? Did you turn the switch on? All right. Well, the Lord doesn't say it to me that way. He says, use your faith. I don't know if he says it exactly that way, but sometimes I get that impression. What are you waiting for? Use your faith. One morning he said to me, you waiting on me? I'm waiting on you. Whoa. That caught me by surprise. It only took me a month to figure out what he meant. Here's what he meant. I've done it all already. I've done it all already. I've done it all already. I've already healed you. I've already prospered you. I've already. Amen? When has he done it? Already. Well, then, what's he waiting on? Waiting on me. To do what? Use your faith. You know why? Because faith receives. Faith is our response to what God has already said and done. What he said, he did. You see, when God says it, it's done. He don't look around to see if it's done. When he says it, it's done. He don't look around to see if what he said is done. You know why? Because he knows when he says it, it's done. Do you know when you say it, it's done? Or do we look around to see if it's done? Don't look around. Know that when you say it, it's done. When you say it, you know it's done. What happens to me sometimes? Sometimes when I say it, I know it's done. Glory to God. And you know, sometimes when I say it, I'm not quite sure. I wonder if I'm the only one that's happened to. But I have a counselor. I have a helper. I have somebody I can go to all the time. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm having some trouble here. I'm looking around to see if it was done. Could you help me? Answer, I sure can. Go to this chapter and go to this verse and get on it. Huh? And you know what happens after a while? You say it again. Can I say it again? I don't care. Say it again if you want to or not. There's no rule. I say it again, and guess what? I know it's done. I don't have to look around. And you know what else happens when you say it and you know it's done? Nothing comes to your mind to try to talk you out of it. Because the devil, he can't get in. The shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. How many fiery darts? Everyone. And so the thought never comes to your mind, I wonder why God didn't do it. And the thought never comes to your mind, what have I done wrong that God didn't do it? You've done nothing wrong. How could you have done something wrong if he doesn't deal with us according to our sin? Yes, but so-and-so told me. Did so-and-so accuse you of something? Then you walk off and say, hush up, in the name of Jesus, it's a lie. We can't be accused of anything because it's God who justified us. Never receive an accusation. Never. From anyone. no matter who it is. Never. That's an abomination to God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus justified you and made you righteous. And you should be angry and offended when someone attempts to do that to you. And it's your opportunity to say, I don't know where you're living, sweet and nice. I don't know where you're living at, but I'm going to tell you where I'm living at, and it isn't where you're living at. I'm uptown, man. I am uptown. I'm not down there in the gutter, wallowing around in some kind of sin consciousness and unworthiness and all that kind of stuff. Amen? You're subject to this every day that you deal with the world. We're not of the world, but we're sure in it. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world, you'll have tribulation. See, we think Christian has their own brand of tribulation. No, we don't. It's in the world. We just happen to be here along with the recession. Didn't come along saying, I'm going to bring a recession to Ken and Laura or Bonnie or Glory Tabernacle. No, it's there. But hallelujah, Jesus, what? Overcame it. Do you think he overcame it for him? He overcame it for us. Therefore, it has no effect. Amen? As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to talk about it. Why should I talk about it? It has no effect. Well, then, why do Christians talk about it? It has an effect on them. Christian businessmen, when a recession should come, need to give their employees a raise. Because it has no effect on them. Watch what happens if they do. First, the devil gets real upset because you ain't reacting. He wants the whole world to react in a certain way, fear. Always trying to get that fear. It's amazing how great it can be, even though it looks bad, if we understand that he does not deal with us according to our deeds, our works, sin. He didn't even deal with us when we think we're really super hot rod Christian. Look at me. He didn't deal with us that way either. Although oftentimes we think he does. That God should do this for me because look at all that I did for him. You're in trouble. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have it the other way. I don't like this other area here of having to deal with God without Jesus. Because Jesus did all the heavy lifting. So I don't have to. Didn't he? Look at Acts chapter 26. Paul's on the road to Damascus. And the light shows up. The horse must have just fell down or something. Or whatever happened there. And Jesus appears to Paul. At that time he was Saul. And I'm going to go right to verse 18. Because Jesus tells Paul, at that point, this is what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Number one. Open their eyes. 18th verse, Acts 26. Everybody there? Don't want to lose anybody. Why do their eyes have to be opened? Why did our eyes have to be opened? to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Now, why do I have to be turned from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God? See, there's a deception in the world. In the world, in man's thinking, they think they're independent. See, we kind of rule the roost. We kind of, you know, call the shots. Nobody makes a decision for me. Nobody makes my mind up for me. No one does this. This is wrong. Every person on earth either has a spiritual head, God, Jesus more specifically, that Jesus is Lord, or Satan. Every person on this earth has a spiritual head that they submit to, whether they know it or not. Adam, it was God. He sinned, he submitted to Satan. It's interesting that man is not called sin, but Satan is. Paul said, it's not I who sin, it's sin in me. Do you not? So, one way or another, there's a spiritual head. So, God says here, open their eyes to turn them from Satan's authority and power over them to being under my authority. So, man is under a spiritual authority one way or another. That's the reason why people who live in the world, who don't know the Word of God, where Jesus is not Lord of their life, become so perfected in the way the world operates. We've raised an entire generation, our next generation, we've raised an entire generation in this country who believes they cannot live without owing money. That they've got to have a credit card. That they've got to have a mortgage to own anything. Even the idea of being debt-free doesn't even come to their mind. Why? They're so conformed to the enemy. The borrower is slave to the lender. That's what the Word says. Amen? This is why Paul wrote, be not conformed to the world. And who's the god of this world? Satan. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? So here, this is what Paul called the heavenly vision. Corinthians, he said, I was faithful to the heavenly vision. Everything that he wrote in the epistles relates back to this, right here. You can trace back every prayer, everything that he wrote relates back to this heavenly vision. What Jesus told him on the road to Damascus, this is what you're to bring to the Gentiles. Gentiles, someone who does not have a covenant with God. Amen? Now, why from the power of Satan to God? That they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. Without it declaring that Jesus is Lord of my life. Without declaring that Jesus is now my authority. I come under the authority of the Lord Jesus. I recognize that He is Lord. I come under His authority. And when that comes, and that revelation is there, you can't help but know you're forgiven of all sin. Amen? And yet we all know people, saints of God who we love, who still do not know they're forgiven of all their sin and still trying to pay for them, still trying to get out from under the guilt, still trying to get rid of the condemnation, and it is hurting them. Why? Because they still don't know that Jesus is Lord. You make Jesus Lord, He becomes your Savior. There's no Savior without Lord. You cast out demons, you heal the sick, you went and did this, you went and did that. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not? The ramifications of Jesus being Lord is awesome. It's not just somebody dictating to you a bunch of rules. Not out of Jesus. It's the fact that the Lord did all the heavy lifting. He's the one that secured for us forgiveness of all, healing, prosperity, freedom, deliverance. He's the one who broke the power of Satan over us so we could be free. We couldn't get out of there, no matter how hard we tried. You cannot work hard enough to come out of darkness into light. You can't work hard enough to where you come out from underneath the authority of the enemy, the authority of the way of the world, this present evil age. You cannot. It had to be the Lord Jesus breaking that power. Amen? To receive. And then he goes on to say this. See, without the receiving of the forgiveness of sin, when I say receiving it, I mean you walk it, you talk it, you live it, you know it. There is no sin consciousness. You don't wake up in the morning trying, I'll try to be good today. That's the opposite of I'm trying not to sin. I'm going to be good today. That will last 5 minutes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's God has an order to things. You come out from the darkness to the light. You come from underneath the authority of Satan. You come to the place where you know the forgiveness of sin. I know that I'm forgiven. I walk like it. I talk like it. Don't you accuse me. God justified me. God called me innocent. God called me guiltless. God is the one who justified. You cannot lay a charge to me. Now, the reason why that's so difficult for people is because there's that part of us that wants credit. Look what I did. Talk nice to me, Brother Ken. I was good today. There's that part of us that wants to rise up and say, well, how come I don't get any credit? Why should we have credit when there was no way we could do anything to be free? Amen? You and I were dead in our trespasses and sin. But God, who's rich in mercy, who's rich in grace. Amen? Now look at the rest of this here. That they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance. Well, what inheritance are we talking about? Everything that God has. Amen. But look at this also. Among those who are sanctified, is that past tense? You don't understand. I got to try to get holy. Sanctified and holy is the same. And I've got to separate myself. You don't understand. I have to get rid of my sin. You can't. Yeah, but I'm saved. Jesus is Lord. You still can't. Why? Because you're justified or righteous by faith, you're sanctified by faith. But he says here, among those who are sanctified by faith in him. Who is the among those? The church. The church. Church, looky here. We're in this together. There's no such thing as the Lone Ranger. None. Can't happen. Won't work. We're in this together. Receive the inheritance among those. How many are sanctified by faith in him? Raise your hand. Very good. Now, would you tell me that? I am sanctified by faith in him, in Jesus. Amen. So he tells Paul, you go to the Gentiles and you bring them to that place. So I'm going through that. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was on the interstate. And he said, I want you to be faithful to the heavenly vision. I didn't even know what it was. I said, the what? Heavenly vision. Now, it isn't like God gets caught by surprise. He knows exactly what you're going to do. He knows exactly how you're going to go. So he knew I was going to go look it up. So I get to where I'm going. I look it up. And I find the verse which I've been faithful to heavenly vision, and I get back to this. So what is the first thing that has to happen in order for people to go from darkness to light, out from under the authority of Satan, his power broken, to the authority of God, the forgiveness of sins, and that they receive the inheritance. Now, you and I both know from that, if you're not receiving the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future, that you walk before the Lord according to how he deals with us, mercy and grace. We don't walk with him according to how we want him to deal with us, or he doesn't deal with us according to our sin. I have sinned. Whoa, what a surprise. And said to the Lord, help me with this. Guess what he did? He helped me. He didn't go, I can't have anything to do with you. He never said to me, you better confess that. Well, that blows out. I mean, please. Don't bring me verses of scripture and tell me all the teaching and all of that, okay? Let me put it to you this way. 1 John 1:9. Confess your sin and he is righteous and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the flagship verse. Okay? Not everybody's at the same place. What's sin for you is not necessarily sin for me. What's sin for me is not necessarily sin for you. That's why preaching on sin is so fruitless. Because the only thing that we can teach on if we're preaching on sin is what I think sin is. Amen? It's your conscience. Ouch. It hurts. You confess. In other words, Priscilla and I, we talked about this quite a bit, and we have concluded you do what you have to do, you know. But if you have a removal of a total sin consciousness to where you are righteousness conscious all the time, you're going to have very few instances where you're going to have to be confessing something to get forgiven. You follow? So really, what does it come down to? 1 John says, if your heart does not condemn you, we have confidence toward God. Are you confident toward God? Amen? The way you are? Hallelujah. Then He hears us. Amen? So it actually comes down to individuals dealing with God. Not a wholesale list. These are the sins. Hey, we've been delivered from the law. Come on. Doesn't matter how you frame it, it still has the same result. What is that result? Death. Amen? So oftentimes we'll have a newborn, a babe, and they're like confessing all day. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. That's fine. Until they start to have more revelation, they start to understand. But you know, I've noticed something. The more righteousness conscious I am, the less sin I have to deal with. And I don't even have to try. We can arrive at the place where we're constantly knowing we're right with the Lord, and not only that, that we are walking before Him and that we have fulfilled every single thing that is required by the law and required by Him because Jesus did it for us. Why do I have to do it all over again? You know what Hebrews says when you do that? You're crucifying Jesus again. In other words, what Hebrews is saying is, you're just like the people that put Him on the cross. There's a few scriptures that are sobering in the Bible. We just don't preach on those too often. I've never in 35 years heard anybody open up that passage of scripture and said, this is my opening text. But it's amazing how that verse of scripture, if you go to there and read that and study that and go over that, how much freedom it brings you. It brings you freedom because you say, I don't have to sacrifice ever. All I need to do is hear what the Lord is telling me, His voice, the Spirit of God, and go with it. I don't have to be worried about what happened yesterday. I don't have to be worried about what happened tomorrow. What do you mean worried about happened? That happens more than yesterday. People are more worried about tomorrow than they are yesterday. Even though Jesus said, quit it, don't do that. Just take care of today. I'll take care of tomorrow for you. Well, don't we need goals? Don't we need this? Don't we need that? You need what God shows you. Amen? You set the goal that He sets for you. And you notice when He sets a goal for you, He don't give you a map to get there. But I'm thank God He's better than GPS. Amen. He can get you there, but He gets you there day by day. Christianity is so every day. Did you know that Jesus could be Lord of your life today when you leave here? And tomorrow morning, not? Absolutely. It can't be any other way. Otherwise, we would say, Jesus, Lord, one time, and God would take your will away from you and your decision, and it would be that way forever, and it would never change, and you would come into a robot stage or a puppet with God. Every single day. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Today. You're Lord of my life. Today. Tomorrow morning. Thank you, Lord. You are Lord of my life. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Tuesday. You are Lord of my life. Wednesday. You are Lord of my life. Today. Now, because of that, you can turn over any situation in your life to Him, and He'll take care of it. And He don't need our help. Let me put it this way. He don't need our good ideas. He may instruct you to do something, but He don't need any suggestions. Lord, here's my wisdom on the matter. Isn't it great He's so patient? Just think about this a second, right? Give this some thought. You know everything. Okay? Everything. From the beginning of the earth, from the beginning of the universe, how it was made, you know everything about the human body. Man knows about 10%. God knows it all. You know everything that's going to happen. And a person standing in front of you, giving to you their good ideas. And they don't know anything. Now, if I were God, I don't know. See, I'm like, get out of my face. You know, well, you know, don't waste my time. But to have that kind of pride to think, this is my favorite. Lord, I have an impossible situation. I need you to handle it. I can't even imagine a thing about it. Then you describe it. See, the description of it goes too. Like He don't know. Okay? All of that. And once you get done with all of that, and you're all done with that, you got all that off your chest, out of your mind, okay? All that. Then you turn around and tell Him how to do it. Over here 5 minutes ago, it was impossible. 5 minutes later, you're giving them your best suggestion. It does take faith to sit still. I know, I've been there. Where I want to do something, God said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care. And I want to do something. I want to do check something. I want to do what I know to do. And all the time, it's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Now, I'm fine because it's a month away. But when it gets 48 hours away, you'll find out what you believe. And it's not the worst thing to find that out. Amen. I'll guarantee you, the moment I know there's some unbelief hanging around, I'm like the guy. Lord, help my unbelief. Okay? I'm jumping on that mercy. I have a teaching I do, before and after faith, there's mercy. And I found out quite a while ago, mercy's the big thing. Because these eyes always want to believe what it sees. And these ears want to hear what it hears. And your feelings are so real. And they want to convince you, God ain't going to do it this time. And then you get to the point where you're talking out of your mouth and you're questioning. One of the reasons why it's so important that we're in this thing together is that God's going to take us together to get to that place of faith. You understand? Encouraging one another, helping one another. Some are up, some are down. You're down, they're up. They help and encourage. Next month, they're up, you're down. Amen? It is not good for man to be alone. That's in the first chapter of the book. Amen? Turn over to Philippians with me, and I'm going to just touch on this morning, pick it up later. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So here we see that God, Jesus came in the form, he was in the form of God, still in the form of God. He emptied himself of that divine power of God, and he came in the form of man, like us. And there you have it, which you've heard so many times before. He was the Son of God, he was the Son of Man. So he came in the form of a man. He said, well, why did he have to come in the form of a man? God is always righteous. He's always just. And he always does the right thing. A man lost the authority to Satan. A man had to get it back. He couldn't just from heaven say, whew, get out, Satan, you're done. I'm rethinking this whole thing. And you're not part of it. Couldn't do that because he had given man dominion in the first two chapters of Genesis. Amen? And so it was Adam who lost it, a man, and a man had to beat Satan, defeat him to get it back. Amen? You see that? Now, here's something that's interesting. Most people think that Jesus is Lord because he was the Son of God. But look at this verse 6. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. How did Jesus earn the name above every name? And there's your key word. How did he earn it? It wasn't just given to him. The name of Jesus is not above every name because it was given to him because he was the Son of God. How did he earn it? Look back at verse 5. Found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. It was his death and his burial, his resurrection. Therefore, because of that, that he became as a man and he went to the cross. Scripture says Satan wouldn't have done it if he didn't know he was being defeated when he did it. If he had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, what was happening? How did he know the defeat? that Satan was being stripped and defeated at the very same time that Jesus was on the cross. Man didn't know what was going on. His guys didn't know, because this isn't what they envisioned. They thought he was going to come roaring in with an army and overthrow the Roman government, and that he was going to be king. Well, he's going to be king. Only king of the whole earth. Because they're thinking in the natural, and he was dealing in the spiritual. He was dealing with the root cause of the problem, Satan's sin. The origin of sin. He was dealing with the root cause of the problem. See, this realm we live in is controlled by the spirit realm. And it's controlled by every spiritual law. Whether a person's saved or not. You see that? It's the spiritual laws. It's the realm, the spirit realm that created this realm that has control over this realm that we live in. So things happen to people who never even come to know Jesus, have no knowledge of the Word of God, and they're happening because the enemy led them to a place where they twisted a spiritual law to work against them. Like your words. You think for a moment the words that an unsaved person is saying does not have an effect on them? Of course it does. Jesus wasn't talking to Christians when he said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. What was he saying there? By your words you will go free. Or by your words you'll be in bondage. Do you think maybe they're important? Verse 8, verse 9, I misspoke, I said verse 6. Verse 8, we're in verse 9 of Philippians 2. Therefore God has highly exalted him. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, on the earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's the gospel. There's the good news. That's the heart of the good news of Jesus right there. That he fulfilled all the law for us. He paid all that the law required. He paid all the debt required. And he went to the cross, and he was resurrected from the dead. And why was he resurrected from the dead? Hell could not hold him because he was without sin. And Satan took him unrighteously. And because of that, couldn't hold him. And because of that, God has highly exalted him and said, no longer is Satan Lord over the earth. No longer does he have the dominion. No longer does he have a right over any human being in the earth, because Jesus is Lord now. And he stripped Satan of every weapon, and he used the law as the weapon. Because no longer are those handwriting of requirements of the law against us, because they were contrary to us. He publicly triumphed over Satan. He publicly displayed his defeat. The angels in heaven rejoiced. That whippersnapper Lucifer has got his finally. Hallelujah. If that is not cause for us to be rejoicing every single day, just that is because we're thinking about something else. defeated. We're here simply to make the enemies the footstool. There's no fight going on. The fight's over. We as a church are called, according to Ephesians, to make the manifold wisdom of God made known to the principalities and powers. What is that? Speak the word. What is the manifold wisdom of God? The word of God. That's what we're to do. And then let the word do the fight. I've been praying for my uncle for 30 years to be saved, receive salvation, I should say. And I've talked to him dozens of times, and he's now a he's older than I am. And I told him, I said, you know, when we're sitting around the table up in heaven, and I'm sitting there with mom and dad, which is my father's brother, younger brother, is this uncle. I said, I want you to be there. I said, I don't really like the idea of you not being there. And that was the first time. See, he's trained as a lawyer, and lawyers are trained to make an argument. See, and I usually get him with that. I go, oh, here we go. You're going to make an argument now. Yeah, that's what we do. We make an argument. I said, the problem is you make an argument. It doesn't matter whether you're for or against. You just take the other side because you have to make an argument. I said, that's how you guys defend guilty people. You convince yourself they're not, because how else could you do it? I said, I understand the law and fair trial and all that. He goes, yeah, but the truth of it is our job is really to negotiate the least amount of punishment for them when they know they're guilty. So they do more negotiating than, you know, like Perry Mason. The only reason Perry Mason never lost a case, I don't know if everybody knows Perry Mason, is because everybody he defended was innocent. You know, and that's an advantage to know your person's innocent when you're looking around for the guilty. See? Know that you're innocent and you won't be looking around for the guilty. But when you feel guilty, you're looking around for the guilty. Be free. We don't need to judge anyone, anybody, ever, for anything. Amen? So my uncle, and then he'll email me back and say, what about this? What about that? And Isaac being sacrificed, and then he reads it, he goes over it. This is a 30-year thing, so I'm just capsulizing little events here and there. So finally, a couple weeks ago, I got with him, and I said, listen, I said, I don't want any arguments. We're not making an argument today. I said, I'll tell you why, because here's what I'm going to do. And I gave him, I had two Bibles, one for me, one for him. And I gave him a Bible, and I said, I want you to look up a verse of Scripture, and I want you to read it. And then I'm going to give you another verse of Scripture, and I want you to read it. I'm going to give you another verse of Scripture, and I'm going to want you to read it. Now, I said, here's the deal. That, what you're reading, is the Word of God. And it is able to argue with you by itself. It don't need me. So we went through it, and he would read it, and I didn't say anything. We read it about 5-6 scriptures. And he goes, you know where everything is in here. I said, well, after a few years, you learn. And then he said, he read Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. And he caught him, the believe. And this is the first time. This is a long time, okay? This is the patient thing. He goes, believe. You know, that's something I might can get on board with. And I let it go right there at that point. But he's coming down in two more weeks, so I'm going to give him another inoculation. But I keep telling him, we're sitting around the table. I said, oh, by the way, that would be in my mansion in heaven. I have a mansion. But, you know, being a lawyer, where's that? That doesn't say that. I said, no, you're trapped. So sometimes I'll email him the scriptures. You know, I go to prepare a place for you. You have a mansion in heaven, John. So here's the point. It's your faith in the Word of God to do what it says it will do for anyone. Amen? It's not how our knowledge, it's not our ability. I tried making the argument. I went through that. It wasn't like, hey, I got a divine revelation on this. This is like, Lord, what am I doing? I mean, Uncle Paul, I wanted to... And then finally, you know, it's kind of like he says to me every now and then, are you through? You going to give me a crack at him now? See? Listen, I have a question for you. Whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, know that Jesus is Lord over that. And are you through? Huh? You're going to turn it over to him? You say, well, yeah, I'm through. Did you worry about it? Did you think about it? Did you say, what am I going to do about it? Did you even pray, Lord, what am I going to do about it? What, Lord, how am I going to handle this? Blah, blah, blah. Are you through? Lord's saying today, are you through? Hello, here I am. Oh, and by the way, there's nothing I can't do. There's nothing I haven't taken care of. Give your mind a rest. Give your heart a rest. Say, Lord, you're thinking, you take care of this, and I'm not thinking about it anymore. I'm not giving it another thought. You'd be amazed when you don't give it another thought how quickly the answer shows up. In this realm, I can tell you more often than not, when I just, Lord, you got it. Thank you for taking care of it and never gave it another thought, what happens? Philippians chapter 4, last verse, and that's a promise. You can take that one as a promise. Philippians chapter 4. And I read this many, many years ago. And when I first read it, I thought it was impossible. I said, this is impossible. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. But if I'm thinking according to 4:8 on everything that's of good report, just of, in other words, the Word of God kind of fills all that. Amen. Then I can't be thinking about what I got to do to solve this problem. I can't be worried about what's going on with a family member who's in the hospital. What good is it going to do for you to worry about someone in the hospital? Huh? Is it going to change? No. No, it isn't going to change with your worry. But it will change with your words. If it's the Word of God. You and I have the power within us to effect change in our circumstance so that it lines up with the Word of God. Amen? And it's pure Word. What do I mean by pure Word? Don't be mixing it together. A little bit of leaven destroys the whole lump. Lord, teach me. Teach me not to mix it together. Show me. Don't let me mix it together. And we all fall into that if we're not learning and aware of what that is. The moment that I talk about the circumstance rather than the answer, I'm in danger of the stranglehold. Does that mean you deny this? No. Don't. This is not, it doesn't exist. This is the power of God can come up against any adverse situation, can come up against anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, can come up against any difficulty or trouble or trial, and it can defeat it out of your life. Amen? But that's unlikely to happen if I'm not understanding Jesus is Lord over my life. Satan has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, he don't even talk to me unless I give him permission. It is amazing how clear some people hear devil. That's such a problem here in God. How is it that you know that? No. Satan, you make an appointment with my secretary. That's my guardian angel. And he has instructions to deny you access at all times. Jesus is Lord. You're forgiven of all your sin. Receive. Receive the inheritance, which is everything that he has. You have a right to righteousness, peace, and joy, the kingdom of God, in your home, in your marriage, in your family, your children, your grandchildren, your whole household, that righteousness, peace, and joy rules. Not strife, not bitterness, not anger, not unforgiveness, not fear, not resentment. And now kick it out of there. It's a spiritual issue. It's not flesh and blood. Amen? Well, Pastor John, how? Every day. Now, let me ask you a question. Will it hurt you for 10 seconds each day to declare, kingdom of God rules in my home, rules in my children's home, in my whole household, in the name of Jesus? Each day. Can I encourage you to do something? Write down in your day planner, in your monthly calendar, in whatever it is that you have that's chronological, and put at the top of the list what you're going to say today. And then at the end of that, in the morning, by the way, it isn't like you have to do it in the morning. But let me tell you, it's better than at night because the whole day has gone by. Okay? Yeah, I want them dealt with at 10 a.m. Okay? And then just check it off. Well, what is it? Lord, I thank you. It is your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And your kingdom has come to my heart, my life, my wife, my family, my home, my children, my grandchildren, cousins, second cousins, third cousins, and anybody who's closely related. Oh, and all of Vero Beach. Amen? Once a day. How long did that take? Less than 30 seconds. But I'll tell you what, it will be one of the best 30 seconds that you use. And then you can toss this in just to get you over the top. And Jesus, you're Lord of my life today. Amen. But we get up and our mind is on something else. Our mind is on what we got to do today, our schedule today, what we got to do to make a living today, what we got to do to take care of this, do that, do an errand, do this, do that. Yes, they have to be done. But I'll guarantee you, kingdom of God ruling and reigning in your life today, Jesus is Lord today over your life, all of that will be a lot easier. And you won't end up at the end of the day all stressed out. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And because I know that God deals with me, not according to my sin, but His mercy and grace, we can deal with each other the same way. I don't deal with you according to your sin. Turn to someone and say, I don't deal with you according to your sin. That's especially good for husbands and wives. Take that from experience. Amen.